What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, and today I bring you the Sermon. Let's talk shop. So, originally for this quick hitter, I had some other stuff planned, but over the past couple weeks following the NFL draft, I'm seeing a lot of people bodying Trey Sermon of the San Francisco 49ers. I wasn't exactly keen on Trey Sermon in particular coming into the offseason. The negative pub got really loud, and part of my job is to investigate both sides of an issue. And what I found digging into this was not what I expected. This is more symptomatic of an issue with the San Francisco 49ers, which got me thinking, why don't we find the Niners running backs interesting? Well, if you've been playing fantasy for longer than a year, the backfield's been an absolute mess. Since Carlos Hyde finished as running back 8 in the 2017 season, no 49ers running back has cracked the top 24 running backs in a season. There's a variety of different reasons for that. One chiefly being Kyle Shanahan's usage of the committee. Lots of touches spread across lots of different players. Very, very hard to parse out any meaningful role between a who's who of guys that they've had back there. They've also dealt with their fair share of injuries, and there's just a general unpredictability and a lack of established players in that backfield. So initially, that was my knee-jerk reaction of Trey Sermon going to the 49ers. He's the latest overhyped, disappointing running back to go to the Bay Area. I think what frustrates me the most about the San Francisco running backs is that Kyle Shanahan has used both a less aggressive committee in the past as well as a feature back. Even back in his Houston and Washington days, Steve Slayton and Alfred Morris were both feature backs in his respective offenses. While in 2016, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman formed a lethal backfield duo, neither of which cannibalized the other, and they were both very productive for fantasy. So what sparked his change in philosophy? Well, one could argue that this committee has been a product of what they've had over the last few years. Just a quick rundown of the backfield. Three of the four main running backs that San Francisco has trotted out there have gone undrafted, namely Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and Jeff Wilson. And if you throw Jamichael Hasty in there, who saw some time this year, that's four undrafted rookies. Not exactly the cream of the crop the position has to offer. Now, from a team building standpoint, this is exactly what you want to do because advanced analytics tells us again and again that the running back is not what creates the value in a running game. It's the blocking. The Niners have done a really good job building and maintaining a strong offensive line. So instead of drafting running backs high, finding guys off the street is the fiscally responsible thing to do. They have done some low investment moves to try to improve this backfield. Both Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman were acquisitions in free agency that were seen as potential upgrades, especially Coleman having already worked with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. But both of these guys have been hammered by injuries. At one point in 2019, the injuries got so bad that Kyle Shanahan resurrected the corpse of Alfred Morris in an effort to shore up his depth chart. So it's not for a lack of trying, it just hasn't worked out very well. So what would change? Why would this year be any different from years of unpredictable committees? Maybe they just haven't had the right guy yet. Enter Trey Sermon. Let's talk a little bit about his profile. Fourth running back off the board in the 21 NFL draft. 3 years at Oklahoma before transferring to Ohio State for his senior season. 6 foot 215. Not a huge guy. Disappointing 40 time. Ran a 4.6 at his pro day, but still has good burst and quickness for an NFL caliber running back. San Francisco quietly traded 2 fourth-round picks to move up 29 full spots in the third round to select Trey Sermon. That's the highest capital San Francisco has spent on a running back in the Shanahan era, for what it's worth. But the one difference that Trey Sermon might make in this backfield that no one else has so far is that he brings yards after contact, which this backfield sorely needs. The Shanahan Niners have largely failed to elevate out of the bottom third of the league's yak metrics, despite having a great run scheme. According to Pro Football Reference, since 2018, just 40.1% of San Francisco's rushing yards have come after contact. That is tied with the Houston Texans, and only the Cardinals have a lower yak percentage. That's pretty ugly company to be in. And that's including their 2019 season at the height of their powers, in which these running backs averaged a full 3 yards before contact, which is ridiculous. The scheme works, and that line blows people off the ball regularly. You would expect to see a lot more yards after contact from them. Trey Sermon has great balance, can churn through contact, and one thing that I almost missed myself when looking into Trey Sermon that I'll throw in as a little nugget to why I'm a little bit excited about him in this offense is Trey Sermon's arms are 33 3/8 of an inch long. That is 97th percentile for running backs. That is on par with offensive and defensive linemen. That's longer than Derrick Henry's arms. Now, I'm not comparing him to Derrick Henry. Now, I want to make that very clear. I am not comparing Trey Sermon to Derrick Henry. But one of Derrick Henry's greatest strengths is his stiff arm. And running backs absolutely do not need to throw guys out of the club like Derrick Henry did to Josh Norman and stiff arm the soul out of a defender. They just need to out-leverage and outreach a would-be tackler. But in an offense that gets their running backs to the edge so frequently, in an offense where outside zone open everything else up for the rest of the offense, getting Trey Sermon on the edge consistently with that stiff arm is, again, something that this backfield just has not had. Now, are there concerns? Absolutely. Is the top end speed there? No. 4.6, he's not going to be breaking away from guys. Does shave a little bit off of his ceiling. There's also a lack of college production. He really didn't establish himself at Oklahoma. However, in the 8 games he did play for Ohio State, his production was good in that small sample. Is it a problem that fullback Kyle Juszczyk scored 6 touchdowns last year? Yes, that's going to, if that continues, that's also going to cut into whoever gets the lion's share. And is there any guarantee that it's Trey Sermon that establishes himself in this offense? No, because this team also drafted Elijah Mitchell in the 6th round and signed Wayne Gallman in free agency. But this team is looking for a dude to lean on. They just don't have a physical presence in the run game. And oh, by the way, there's a young quarterback by the name of Trey Lance coming to the Bay Area, which will open up this run game to all of that sweet, sweet quarterback option goodness, which I very much look forward to seeing. The bottom line is, even a 40 to 50% share of the total team rushing yards would yield a solid running back 2 season for the first time in 5 years. So once we get into the 2nd round of rookie drafts, and the quarterbacks are gone, and Najee Harris is gone, and Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams, all of the top wide receivers are gone, and Trey Sermon's sitting there in the middle of the 2nd round, I might take that shot if I'm not shorting myself elsewhere. Because this early down work is up for grabs. The red zone work is up for grabs. No, he's not going to come in and dominate touches in all likelihood. A guy like Raheem Mostert is a burner out of the backfield. Jeff Wilson has been a reliable pass catcher. But in a backfield that has been so hodgepodge, to find some consistency in a specific role is possible. And it would be disingenuous of me to say, no, I don't want to touch any 49ers running back. He's got a decent enough profile, a decent enough investment from the team to make me believe that pulling the trigger on the early to mid 2nd round is very worthwhile, especially in a weak running back class. And it doesn't make me feel like I'm drafting from a position of weakness and looking for something that isn't there in this class. The payoff from hitting on a running back is just so high that it is worth to take shots like this. Even when there's not a clear-cut prospect, it's just the way it is. So that's it for today. I promise next time will not be about the 49ers, but hey, these things come up and I gotta squash them. If you enjoyed, don't forget to like and share the show. Follow us on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. I'll be setting up more social media to come. But until next time, I'm out. Keep grinding.